Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Amen. Hold me close. Let me surround you, is what he's saying. Take me, mold me, use me. What a beautiful truth to carry into our hearts this morning, that we are clay in the gentle, skilled hands of a loving Creator. Every time we sing that song, we are reminded that God doesn't walk away from the wheel when the clay is marred or cracked. He stays. He holds us. He reshapes us into something glorious. That truth leads us right into where we're headed today. So good morning. Today, we're launching a brand new four-week sermon series entitled Back Together, Broken People of the Bible. And over the next month, we're going to look at four remarkable individuals in Scripture whose lives were deeply broken emotionally, physically, socially, or spiritually. Week one, Hannah, restored to faithfulness. Week two, Mephibosheth, restored to a place at the table. Week three, Matthew, restored to apostleship. Week four, Ruth, restored to family. Our guiding visual throughout the series is the ancient Japanese art, Kintsushi. Kintsushi literally means to join with gold. It is the practice of taking a piece of pottery that is shattered, a bowl, a vase, a plate, and instead of throwing it into the trash, the master craftsman carefully pieces it back together using a lacquer finish mixed with gold dust. Take a look at how this master craftsman brings beauty out of brokenness.
Tokyo, Lucy Craft tells us about an art form that's all about picking up the pieces.
No matter how broken the pottery, Tsuyoshi Koishihara says there's nothing he can't fix. After 40 years and nearly 10,000 pieces restored, Pottery Repairman doesn't really do him justice. Reassembling a tiny sake cup like a 3D jigsaw puzzle, the Kyoto artisan is an expert in kintsugi, the ancient technique for making shattered dishes whole again. Kintsugi, literally gold and joint or patch, highlights breaks, chips, and other flaws instead of hiding them. Priceless tea bowls and cheap crockery alike become sublime mementos of personal history. He says, originally, kintsugi allowed a samurai to show contrition for breaking his lord's pottery. To prove the mishap was accidental, not an act of rebellion, simply gluing pottery back together wouldn't do. In a post-samurai, time-starved era, superglue is Koishihara's go-to adhesive, meticulously dropped into hairline cracks to hold shards in place. Lacquer is painted onto the spidery breaks, serving as base coat for the crowning touch, a sprinkling of gold dust that makes seams pop. This is not good as new, but new and improved. Collectors use kintsugi to preserve the monetary value of exquisite pieces, but most of Koishihara's work is fixing beloved but everyday items. A cup is not just a cup, he says. It represents moments of your life. who you shared meals with, who you drank tea with. It's a storehouse of memories.
Kintsugi reflects an old Japanese aesthetic which celebrates and finds beauty in imperfection. But in recent years, a new generation of Japanese is rediscovering and reinterpreting a once obscure repair technique.
In a Tokyo workshop, artist Tomomi Kamoshita teaches students how to mix and match beach glass and ceramic debris into kintsugi mashup ornaments.
You're a potter who specializes in broken pottery. How did that happen?
In every batch of pottery out of the kiln, there are always a few rejects, she says. I wanted to salvage them. So now her lemons get a new life with a graft of ceramic or glass like patches on a pair of jeans, a technique known as yobitsugi. With its optimistic message of recovery, kintsugi has taken on a life of its own, far from Japan. There are kintsugi-branded sneakers, cigars, and perfume. A kintsugi-inspired Star Wars helmet. Not to mention pop songs and self-help tips about bouncing back from adversity or even healing political partisanship.
Around the world, kintsugi is having a moment right now. Why do you think this idea resonates with people?
It's not just about broken dishes, she says. Life involves getting hurt, but being wounded is a chance to create something completely new, a profound life lesson for us all. Damaged teacup or tortured soul, in the resilient world of kintsugi, nothing is truly breakable.
Notice what happens through this process. The master craftsman does not hide the cracks. He highlights them with gold. The restored place isn't just repaired. It is rendered more exquisite, more unique, and far more valuable than it was before the break. In our culture, when something breaks, we throw it away and move on. Have you ever felt like life broke you so badly that you were beyond repair? When you look at the cracked or painful places in your story today, do you see useless debris, or do you see a masterpiece waiting to be remade? In the hands of the master potter, our creator and redeemer, brokenness is never a permanent condition for a child of God. God is always, has been, and is a restoring God. He does not throw us away when life shatters us. He draws near, and wherever you are broken, the master potter is ready to repair. By his grace, he joins our broken pieces together with the golden thread of his redemption. When I think about kintsugi, I am reminded of my mother. Mom loved making crafts. She could take seashells, driftwood, weeds from the side of the road, or ordinary rocks, and through her creativity, she had the uncanny ability to transform them into something truly beautiful. For years, her handmade creations were sold in the gift shops all along the Skyline Drive. But during the last 6 years of her life, Mom lost her sight. She could no longer see to create the crafts that she had loved for decades. Outwardly, her body faced compounding health problems, and her earthly vessel was wearing thin. Yet, in Mom, I saw kintsugi lived out with radiant clarity. Even as her body was failing, her spirit grew stunningly beautiful. Through her daily struggles, she grew into an ever-deepening relationship with God, witnessing for Jesus to literally everyone she encountered: nurses, doctors, visitors, and family. Over the 13 years I served as her caregiver, I witnessed miracle after miracle of God's gold filling her broken pieces. I remembered them all, but three stand out. The first was on the eve of Thanksgiving. Mom refused to go to the hospital because she didn't want to die there. I spent the entire night sitting up beside her bed, giving her nebulizer treatments. Exhausted, I fell asleep in that chair. When I woke up, it was Thanksgiving morning, and she was still alive. What a pure joy to have my mom for one more day. The second came when doctors insisted she entered palliative care after a 30-day hospital stay. Mom chose to trust God and return home under my care instead. She was discharged on Christmas Eve, and that night we took her to the Christmas Eve service at the Harrisonburg campus. Though she was blind and couldn't see the faces around her, her heart overflowed just being surrounded by her friends, hearing their voices, and receiving their hugs. And God didn't just give us that Christmas. He blessed us with nearly a year and a half of precious time together. Then came May 5th. We had prayed together that morning and were resting in total peace when she looked at me and she said, "I love you, Peaches and Cream." Within 30 minutes, she was in an ambulance with a ruptured aneurysm. After a long day of excruciating pain and countless tests, the doctors finally came in with the news. She needed a high-risk emergency surgery, and she might not survive it. We wept and prayed together again, placing our trust in God. We both knew that if we didn't see each other again on this earth, we would be reunited in heaven. And with that peace, they rolled her away for a 6-hour surgery. Mom passed away the next day at 89 years old. While it sounds like a sorrowful ending, it was a moment of profound grace. God answered our prayers. I was spared the agony of deciding to remove her from life support because the Lord gently carried her home, healed, whole, and no longer suffering. In Mom, I saw a living picture of what God does when our physical bodies break. How even as her earthly vessel wore down, the golden treasure inside her shone brightly. But when I look at Kintsugi, I don't just see my mother. I see my own life. I know what it feels like to be a shattered jar of clay from the inside out, and what God does when our spiritual lives are broken I'm not just talking about May 23rd, 1991, the moment God saved me and delivered me from drugs and alcohol. I'm talking about the ongoing work of His grace in my life ever since. Even now, at 64 years old, He is still working on me. His golden lacquer is still being applied. And that's a yay for Jesus indeed. There was a time when my speech was ugly, littered with four-letter words, and my heart was driven by selfishness. I was a cracked jar of clay with rough edges, but God didn't discard me. By His Holy Spirit, He went to work on my inside, in my heart, in my mind, and my soul. Day by day, He cleaned up my mouth, rounded off my rough edges, and replaced selfishness with His heart of generosity. He began filling those cracks with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I saw that very same work in my sweet mom. During mom's season of deep physical brokenness, God was rounding off her rough edges too. He was filling the cracks of her life with the love of Jesus, pointing everyone around her back to the Savior. The Apostle Paul captures this exact reality for both of us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. And as Paul adds in verses 16 through 18, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an internal glory that far outweighs them all. Stop and consider this for a moment. When people look at your life today, do they see a jar of clay trying to pretend it's perfect? Or do they see the gold of Jesus shining through your cracks? Are you letting your struggles point people to the Savior? What rough edges or harsh habits is the Holy Spirit trying to round off in your life right now? Your brokenness does not disqualify you from God's glory. In fact, it is right inside of our cracked, fragile jars of clay that the golden grace of Jesus shines most brightly. As we open God's word today, we turn to the historical pages of 1 Samuel, where we meet a woman named Hannah, whose life had completely crashed under the weight of several heartbreak, social, severe heartbreak, social stigma, and profound spiritual emptiness. Human effort and earthly comfort could not fix her. But when she brought her shattered pieces to the Almighty God, God didn't just patch up her situation. He restored her soul and gave her a purpose that echoed through generations. The story I want to share today comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the hill country of Ephraim, there was a man named Elkanah who had two wives, Peninnah and Hannah. Peninnah has children, but Hannah has none. In ancient Israel, childbearing was not merely a personal desire. It was tied to a woman's social standing, security, and identity. In that culture, barrenness was often mistakenly viewed as a sign of divine disfavor or hidden sin. To make matters worse, year after year, when the family traveled to the tabernacle at Shiloh to sacrifice, Peninnah would cruelly taunt and provoke Hannah, rubbing in her fertility to irritate and humiliate her. Elkanah loved Hannah deeply and tried to comfort her by giving her a double portion of the sacrifice, asking, "Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?" But human romance cannot heal a spiritually broken heart. Hannah was left utterly heartbroken, weeping bitterly and unable to eat, emotionally and spiritually barely alive. Have you ever been where Hannah was? Have you ever experienced a trial so heavy or a season of waiting so long that even the well-meaning words of loved ones couldn't touch the ache in your soul? What do you normally do when human comfort falls short? Listen to how Hannah responds to her crash. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. "Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.'" Hannah goes to the tabernacle and begins to pray. But her prayer is so raw, so inward, that her lips move without any sound escaping her mouth. Eli, the high priest, looks at her and misjudges her completely. He assumes she is intoxicated and scolds her. "How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine." Notice Hannah's response. She doesn't retreat in anger or bitterness. She defends her integrity and reveals the true condition of her heart. She says, "No, my Lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I was pouring out my soul before the Lord." After explaining her heart to Eli, look at how the story turns and hope begins to break through. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Notice what happened in verse 18. Hannah's heart was restored before her circumstances changed. She hadn't conceived yet. She hadn't held a baby yet. But because she poured out her broken heart before the God of angel armies, Yahweh Sabaoth, she received his peace by faith, and her face was no longer downcast. Are you waiting for your circumstances to change before you allow God to give you peace? Or are you willing to trust him in the middle of the trial, leaving your heavy load at the altar and letting him lift your downcast face today? The family rises early the next morning, worships the Lord, and returns home to Ramah. Scripture says, and the Lord remembered her. In the course of time, Hannah conceives and gives birth to a son. She names him Samuel, which sounds like the Hebrew word for asked of God, declaring, because I asked the Lord for him. Hannah faithfully stays home to care for and nurse young Samuel until he is fully weaned, supported by her husband, Elkanah. Hannah returns to the very place where her heart was once broken, but this time her hands are full. Hear the word of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. And she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. The divine kintsugi process. When we look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, we aren't just reading ancient history. We are looking at a divine pattern for our own lives. One, honest pain. Bring it to God. Two, total surrender. Church word consecration, holding nothing back. Three, golden purpose. Redeemed for his glory. God is never in the business of discarding broken vessels. He is in the business of kintsugi. Through Hannah's journey from grief to glory, we see three distinct movements in the divine kintsugi process. First, bring your honest pain to the master potter, because that's where we see God's prevenient and sustaining grace at work. Restoration begins not by hiding our fractures, but by bringing them directly to the master. God allowed Hannah's painful constraint to draw her into a deeper level of prayer and consecration. Rather than burying her grief, nursing bitterness, or fighting in her own strength, Hannah poured out her unedited soul directly to Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Do you know what is so fascinating about this moment in 1 Samuel chapter 1? Throughout the entire Old Testament up to this point, through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, and Judges, nobody has ever called God by this specific name. Abraham never used it. Moses never used it. Joshua never used it. The very first person in human history to cry out to God as Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, was a broken, barren, heartbroken woman praying silently at a tabernacle altar. Sabaoth means armies or heavenly forces. Hannah looked at her shattered, empty life, realized that human romance couldn't fix her, that social standing couldn't save her, and that earthly comfort fell completely short, and she appealed to the God of angel armies. She was saying, "Lord, I'm powerless. My hands are empty, but you command the vast armies of heaven, and nothing in my life is beyond your reach." Isn't it incredible that God revealed one of his most mighty triumphant names, not through a mighty military commander leading an army into battle, but through a weeping woman bringing her raw, unedited pain to the altar? Whatever battle you are facing today, you don't have to pretend you have it all together. You don't have to put on a spiritual brave face. Real healing begins with radical honesty. When you bring your honest pain to the Master Potter, you aren't just crying out into the void. You are calling upon Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, who has all the power of heaven at his command to gather your broken pieces. Real healing requires radical honesty. God meets us inside our raw, unhidden pain. Are you taking your struggles to the Lord of hosts, or trying to fight the battle yourself? The second movement is total surrender over personal ownership. In our tradition, we call this entire consecration. The movement we stop holding onto our blessings as personal property and hand them fully back to God. In Wesleyan Nazarene theology, true restoration involves entire consecration. The moment we stop holding on to our blessings as personal property and hand them fully back to God. Hannah was beyond standard Levitical expectations of offering her long-awaiting son through a lifelong Nazarene vow. She realized her ultimate healing was meant to advance God's kingdom. If God answers your deepest prayer today, are you willing to surrender that blessing right back to him for his kingdom use? The third movement is a vessel better than before. When God works in our lives, he brings inward renewal and gives us a golden purpose. When God repairs a broken vessel, he fills the fractures with his grace, making the restored peace far more valuable than the original. God did not just match Peninnah's family size. He gave Hannah Samuel, the mighty prophet who would bridge the error of the judges and anoint King David. In fact, if you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and that's later today, not now, you'll read Hannah's incredible song of praise, a reflection of a heart that was completely transformed. God's gold standard of restoration repurposed her deepest trials to turn her brokenness into a powerful testimony. When God restored Hannah, he didn't just repair her life. He transformed her whole perspective. But remember where her story began. It didn't start with a song of praise. It started on her knees and silent, agonizing prayer. Ben, we will please come now and play softly. As we step into this invitation, ask yourself, where do you stand today? Perhaps you find yourself in the exact spot where Hannah started. You feel cracked or shattered by life circumstances. You've been wrestling with the trial for months or even years, wondering if God has forgotten you. You feel misunderstood by those around you, just as Hannah was misunderstood by Eli. And as the band plays Faithful Now, let that be your response today. Bring your broken pieces to the one who knows how to restore them. If you'd like to pray, you can come to these altars, or if you want to pray with me, I'll be up front. But consider this. What if the brokenness in your life isn't the end of your story, but the very place where God wants to pour in his golden grace? What if he is simply waiting for you to step forward and surrender it to him today? What would change in your heart right now if you stopped hiding your pain and handled those shattered pieces? Give them directly to Jesus. Hear this truth today. Your brokenness is not your final identity. When it comes to your life, God isn't just a repairman. He's an artist. He is the master potter. He doesn't cast aside broken clay. He gently gathers the pieces, fills the cracks with the gold of his redeeming grace, and restores you to a life of beauty, fruitfulness, and purpose. As we close, whether you step forward to the altar or pray quietly right where you are, I invite you to take these three steps. One, bring your honest pain. Stop carrying the grief, bitterness, or silent ache alone. Pour out your soul before the Lord. Two, receive his peace by faith. Like Hannah, allow the Lord to lift your downcast heart today, even before you see the final answer. 3. Surrender your life fully to Him. Ask the Master Potter to join your broken pieces together so the life and glory of Jesus can shine through your vessel. Hannah's story teaches us that we don't have to wait for the miracle to have peace. We can seek Him in the pain, pour out our souls, and walk away with a face no longer downcast because we know the One who hears. As the team leads, let's stand and declare that our trust is not in our circumstances, but in our God.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.